everybody, and welcome to Prisons Week Service 2025. We welcome everybody this morning. We welcome especially Vanda, who's managed to get here safely. Thank you. Please stay for coffee or tea after the service, and biscuits, and for a chat. And I've just got to point out some things that will be happening this morning. We will be having songs, prayers, readings, and a message, and also communion this morning. And there will be responses in this communion, which will be on the screen. The collection will be taken later, and it's intended for regular attendees of the fellowship. So please feel free to let the bags pass by. And there will be a bag and a pot. The bags are for the work of the church, and the tins are for the work for sponsoring our children, our sponsored children. Please sit or stand for the songs or hymns, whichever you feel most comfortable. Okay. So notices, there are a few notices. Just to remind everyone about the Harvest Social next week, which is 3 till 5.30 at Oasis. It's going to be donations for the work of Angel Tree, which is a programme of Prison Fellowship. And this enables us to buy Christmas presents for mums and dads that are actually in prison who can't get presents themselves. There will be food, and that will be at 4:45, but it will just be snacks. So if anybody wants to bring anything, could they have a word with Chris and just let her know what they're bringing? And then I think it's the Harvest Festival next week, and the donations will be going to the food bank or the pantry. And please, could you bring your MAF boxes in as well to be emptied? And just a little message from Mary. She just wanted me to say thank you, and that she doesn't want a lot of fuss. She won't hold it together. So we'll just remember that. Thank you. So we'll just open with a prayer. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us this morning. And we do indeed give you the glory and the praise. For you are mighty, and you are loving, and you are kind. And we thank you for all of these gifts. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing now, and the song is called There Is a Truth.
There is a truth. Thank you.
Tell you a little bit about Prisons Week. It started about 50 years ago, so it's been going for quite a long time now, and it's supported by many Christian ministries, including Prison Fellowship, of which I am a volunteer with. And the theme this year is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9. God's word is not changed. There's a picture of the front of the prayer sheet there. Each day of this week, there is a prayer and a testimony to God's power from a number of people who have worked or have been caught up in the justice system. And there are some spare leaflets outside at the back if you'd like to take one home. So we're going to have a time of worship now, and we're going to be singing Amazing Grace and Rescuer.
Amazing grace, I've seen.
as good is all like
we will praise the Lord our rescuer. redemption for every occasion.
Ask Moira now to come up and give us our first reading.
This reading comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. It's headed 10 Healed of Leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one found to return and give him praise to God, except this foreigner." Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." God will add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Moira. We're now going to have the collection and we can sing along to "I'm Special," which is especially for the children this morning.
Jesus' crucified can take the blame for all the bad things I have done. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. I know I don't deserve anything. Help me feel your love right now. To go deep in my heart, that I'm your special friend. I'm special because God has loved me before he gave the best thing that he had to save me. His own son Jesus crucified to take the blame for all the bad things I have done. Thank you, Jesus.
thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. I know I don't deserve anything. Help me feel your love like love, to know deep in my heart that I'm your special friend.
All that we offer is received and transformed into new possibilities. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts. And we pray, Lord, that they would be used to glorify your name and to help the people and the children that they go to. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So if the children would like to go to Sunday school now, we'll just pray for them. We hope, Lord, this morning that these two girls and whoever else there is, Lord, will have a lovely time at Sunday school and that they will just be touched by your love and by your presence and that you will keep them safe and that you will bless them. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like this morning just to share a little bit with you about my journey with being a volunteer with Prison Fellowship. I know and I do understand that volunteering in prisons is not for everyone, it's not everybody's cup of tea. But honestly, I have questioned that myself at times, but I do truly believe that God wanted me and led me to become involved with Prison Fellowship. The journey really started a little bit daunting, but it has grown into something that's been quite amazing and continues to be so. And it also enables us as volunteers to take into the prisons the love of Jesus and to show them the love of Jesus as well. And over the years, I've met many men, women and young boys serving their time in prison. I've shared my story with them of being a victim of crime. I've talked with them, answered their questions, and I've always been treated with respect and gratitude. And very often coming home from these visits, I've also been struck really with how awesome it is that the Lord has taken me into places that I would never, ever have dreamed that I would go to. But I also know that I've been very privileged and I've been very blessed with the people that I've met and the people that I've talked to. Also in a prison, I've realised how important a chaplaincy is in prison and the team of chaplains. And I've met some wonderful chaplains over the years, including Vanda. Vanda has such a heart in that chaplaincy and such a heart for the young boys that she looks after there. She works at Werrington. She's the managing chaplain there. And Werrington is a young offenders prison. And the ages in that prison of boys are 15 years to 18 years. If their sentence is going to be ongoing from 18, they will be transferred into an adult prison. But I do believe as well that God is working through his Holy Spirit in our prisons and is changing hearts and is changing lives, which is quite wonderful. But whatever I've done has been a true gift from God, and I will be forever grateful. But I would also like to say, really, I just want to say thank you for your prayers, because prayers are essential to whatever we do. And you know when you're backed up with prayer, because you can just tell, you can just feel it. And it is really, really important. And I want to just thank you again. And thank you for your support with things like Angel Tree. And I did forget, I think, to say in the notices that there will be the Beetle Drive on Saturday as well. I think I missed that out. But thank you so much. We're just going to have a time of prayer now, bring our thoughts and our prayers to the Lord. First of all, Lord, this morning I just want to bring before you Mary, Sonia and Martin and their family. We just ask, Lord, that you would just surround them with your peace and just touch them, Lord, and know that you are with them. Because your word does say you are close to the brokenhearted, and we thank you for that, Lord. In the coming days, in the coming weeks, we just ask that you will sustain each one of them and their family. I do want to bring before you, Lord, this morning, those who work in prisons. We think of the prison officers. We think of all the departments that are in our prisons. Health, education, and the chaplaincies, Lord. We ask, Lord, that they would know your grace within their departments, and that they would feel your touch as well. We also pray for victims of crime and what they have to go through, Lord. And we just pray for comfort for them as well. And we pray, Lord, that also there might be a time when they would be able to come to some sort of understanding of what has happened to them. And perhaps, Lord, as many victims of crime do, or who work within Christians' ministries, are willing to go into prisons and share their particular story and share the story of forgiveness as well, which sometimes is very hard. We pray for the prisoners themselves, very often locked up for a long time each day. We pray for them in their needs. There are many needs within those, Lord, mental health problems, health, ordinary health problems, all sorts of things. And we pray that they would be able to access the things that they really need. And also, Lord, we think of the prisoners' families, the children. We think especially of the children, Lord, who are separated from a parent, sometimes for a very long time. And we just pray, Lord, that those relationships could be helped by things like Angel Tree, that those relationships could be helped to perhaps even reunite. We don't know, Lord, but we know, Lord, that you do work through these gifts. And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is not confined to cells or to landings or to anything like that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can move freely through a prison. And we give you the glory. And I just want to finish these prayers with the Prisons Week prayer. Lord, you offer freedom to all people. We pray for those in prison. Break the bonds of fear and isolation that exist. Support with your love prisoners and their families and friends, prison staff, and all who care. Heal those who have been wounded by the actions of others, especially the victims of crime. Help us to forgive one another, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly together with Christ in his strength and in his spirit, now and every day. Amen. Just going to read the second reading now that Vanda has requested for this morning. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, lend your everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against any quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. We give thanks to God for his word. Just going to ask Vanda now to come up with us, to come up and share with us. Thank you.
May the words of my heart and the inspirations of our lives be acceptable to you, O Lord. Hear us and use us for your purpose. Well, good morning, everybody. First of all, and now I'm just going to do a check with you, okay? So first of all, if we were in the prison, I'd be saying, does anyone need the loo before we start? Because it can be quite disruptive otherwise, isn't it? Then can I just check, is everybody going to be comfortable at the moment? So I've been told about 20 minutes. Is that about right? Near enough, okay. I'm going to be picking on someone in a minute. It's going to be you two, all right? I'm just warning. So, why am I here? I'm here because I'm the managing chaplain of Werrington. How did I become the managing chaplain of Werrington? Oh, that's a very long story which takes us all over the world, and I'm very old. I am very old. When I was born, I was brought up in a family where my father was a bit of a gangster, and we moved to Dorset so that he could be safe. And he sort of earned his living kneecapping people, effectively, but he did it in London rather than in Dorset, so I was sheltered from quite a lot of that. He then decided to change and renovate houses. And so he started renovating houses, and every so often he'd disappear and he'd come back covered in bruises. And I didn't really think anything of it because it was normal. And we never did anything at all to do with church at all. My childhood was quite challenging. I was often the, there's always seems to be a child who can be a bit difficult, and I was the more difficult one, so I didn't really fit with the model that my parents liked. And so I grew up really quite, it was quite a difficult upbringing, used to violence against myself as well as others. And when I got married and I had my first daughter, my daughter was born with dislocated hips. She had her knee, her legs behind her neck. And she had 2 years of treatments and 10 operations. And in that time, what I did was I had prayed to the God who I knew there was a God, because in primary school there was a picture of this cloud with this man in white and a nice smile. And I was told that's God. And so I prayed to God that if he got my daughter better, I would go to church. I meant once a month. I didn't mean every day. That wasn't the plan. Anyway, she got better, so I went to church. And why am I an Anglican? I'm an Anglican because the first, when I drove into the village with my daughter, the first church I got to was the Methodist church, and there were two ladies with Zimmer frames and two gentlemen with walking sticks going in, and I thought, I can't take a toddler in there. I drove to the next church and I saw somebody walking in with a child, and I thought, that should be all right. That's why I'm Anglican. No other reason. It's bizarre. So, yes, I got headhunted to work in Guy's Marsh Prison because I was working in a school with children with special needs and children who had been sexually and physically abused. And the number of people in Guy's Marsh Prison at that time who had suffered abuse was immense, and they couldn't actually work out what they were going to do. So I was headhunted to go and work with some of these adults. And my days in Guy's Marsh was I was working for the chaplain for 3 days a week, and 2 days a week I was doing this work with those people who were abused. And I went there thinking, I'm going to take Jesus to these people, you know, I'm going to preach the gospel. I was so wrong. Because what I found was Jesus was already there. And my job in the prison was to do my best not to get in his way. And I wasn't that good at that. If I'm honest, quite often I got in God's way. But the graciousness with which some of these men received some of the things we had to do was immense. When you're going to knock on the doors and the landing doors are close to each other, you knock on a door and you say, how are you? And the guy goes, I'm going home tomorrow, yay! And you celebrate with him. And then the next door is this far apart. And you knock on that door. And the man says, when I say, how are you? My wife is pregnant. Oh, that's marvellous. What wonderful news, I said in my innocence. Yeah, he said. I've been in prison 2 years. Then you have to go and tell them about a death. And then you have to go and tell them that although they're meant to be going out in 2 weeks' time, actually the person they're going to live with is in hospital, had a stroke. And then you tell them they're not going to be able to go to the visits hall because of their behaviour. So they can't see their family member because it will be a risk. Chaplains, we're a bit like salt in bread. We get everywhere, we do everything. You know, we really do get ourselves involved in that. But we do it for God. We have to be rather like St. Francis. I'm not allowed to try to make people a Christian. No chaplain is allowed to proselytize, that's what they call it. We are not there for that. We're there to serve. And you know, when they first formed prisons long time ago, not quite back into the times of the gospel, but a long time ago in England, the first prisons were formed and the senior leadership team was just two people. Currently, the senior leadership team is round about 28. Okay. Of the two people, you had the governor and a chaplain. The governor governed the prison, and the chaplain held the governor accountable for the decisions they made. And the chaplain also was in charge of the pastoral care and well-being of anyone who came through the doors of the prison, whether they were there to stay or to go. And as a result of that, we have statutory duties that we have to do every single day. Chaplains have to go and see everybody who's in isolation for whatever reason. They have to see everybody who's at risk of suicide or self-harm. We have to see every brand new person arriving in prison within 24 hours. Because when we see them within 24 hours, if they're worried, we had a lovely thing, it's about a year ago now, but I suddenly realised, gosh, I'm really glad I've got this job. I saw this boy who was in pieces. He was punching the wall and headbanging. And he just got into prison. He didn't expect to go to prison. He thought he was going to be bailed, but he was in prison. And the judge said that he wasn't going to see him back for sentencing who wasn't going to have his sentencing for about a month, and this boy is distraught. And I'm going in because they'll call the chaplain for then. What's wrong? Any ideas? What do you think might have been wrong?
He's scared.
Yeah, yeah. They're often, you know, these great hulking 17-year-old boys that I do this to, quite often they're petrified. Anything else?
Homesick.
Homesick, yeah. Those who had a home. He hadn't thought he was going into prison, so he'd asked his friend to look after his dog, and his friend said he could look after the dog for 2 days. Because he had a house where he wasn't allowed a pet. And if he was in for a month, his dog would go to the pound or to the rescue centre and be put to sleep. That was the only family member this boy had. He had no one else. No family, no friends. He was 17 and a half, which is a bit like the nightmare age, because 17 and a half, you've only got 6 months left under the youth offending team. Then you go on to social workers and probation workers. That's for adults. So when you're 17 and a half, the social workers and probation workers don't want to pick you up yet, and the youth workers are so overburdened, they'll look at somebody who's only going to be with them for 6 months and they will do the minimum. So he was left with nothing. And there's this fantastic charity called the Cinnamon Trust. And you can contact the Cinnamon Trust and say, help! Somebody's gone into hospital and there's no one to look after their dog. Somebody is having all sorts of issues. You know, we need help. And they stepped in and they picked up this boy's dog and looked after him until he came out of prison. And that person still walks the dog with this boy. And so what that's done is actually created for him a family, somebody who cares. Somebody who sends him a card at Christmas. He was set free by love. And that's what Paul talks about. St. Paul and I have this sort of like relationship going. There's a lot about St. Paul I love. There's a lot about St. Paul that I just think, did he ever actually read the gospel? You know, sometimes Paul will say things which you say, if you look at the life of Jesus, there's direct alternative ways of being and doing shown by Jesus himself. So Paul should come. He's mandatory for us because he's got so much of value. But he also comes with that little bit of a warning that says Paul on his own, without referencing to the gospel, can lead us into something of danger for our own understanding of grace, love, and trust. So Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, his last letter to Timothy, it contains some wonderful pieces in it, and it also contains some really quite challenging pieces in it. But what he talks about is, can we chain God's word? Do you think he only means God's word? Because when I said about chaplains being everywhere, not allowed to proselytize, actually chaplains have to be rather like St. Francis of Assisi, who was pretty brilliant in my eyes. But St. Francis of Assisi, when he was trying to get his young men who were joining him and going off to be friars and as we call them now, he said to them, your job is go out and preach the good news of Jesus Christ and only use words when everything else about you has failed, to show people the love of God and how it's made you become. That's what chaplains do. But that's what you're to do too. Your aim, if you're going to allow God's word to be free in your community, your aim is to live your life in such a way that everybody around you has got FOMO. You all know what FOMO is, isn't it, don't you? Fear of missing out, okay? Everyone should be seeing you and saying, I don't know what that person's got. And I'm not talking about the brand new bags or the trainers. Or do you know, you can spend $2,500 on a pair of trainers. Trainers. I trod on a boy's toe the other day. It was his new trainers. I said, do you want me to replace them? Because there was a tiny scuff. And he went, no, miss, it'll be fine, miss. Honestly, it'll be fine. I looked him up. $2,500 for a pair of trainers. Two. Oh, what's wrong with Tesco's? Go and be the people that others want to be. Because you are loving. Because you are trustworthy. Because you are kind. Because you are truthful. Because you care about other people. Because you have a care for the environment. That's what makes disciples. Okay. I'm just going to check for a moment here. Have you ever seen these? Let's not be silly. We all have, haven't we? Yes. Paper chains. We're going to play a small game, and this game is, I wonder if you ought to be in prison or not. Okay? So, Moira and Jenny, because you're the only ones I really properly know your names, I'm afraid I'm going to be asking you two to come up. We've had afternoon tea together with the boys there, so there we go. Right. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. You've got a silver and a gold. And every time someone puts their arm in the air and says, so I'm going to ask a question, and if somebody puts their arm in the air because the answer is yes, I can confidently say this. So, like, let's say, tomato for breakfast. Anyone here have a tomato for breakfast today? No. So then you have got to make a chain up. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think, is it a peel or is it a stick?
Peels.
It's a peel.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, get you.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't get to make one. So gold is good. So this is the chain of goodness. And this is going to be the chain of, do you think you ought to be in prison? Okay. Now go back to about 5 years old in your life. For some of us, that's going to be a really short jaunt, but for others, it may be a little bit more of a journey. Okay. Has there anyone here who, since around the age of five, has never told a lie? You don't get to do one. You've got to do one. Okay. Is there anyone here since the age of five who has never gossiped? Another one, please, Jenny. Is there anyone here who has never driven too fast? There's one person who's not driven too fast. Yay, you get one. No, you just get to make your your chain up. Okay. Is there anyone here who has never received something that you shouldn't have? So have you known that maybe something came from a dodgy thing, or maybe, you know, you saw 10p on the floor, picked it up. Has any of you ever not done that sort of thing? Yes, we've got one, two. Okay. Excellent. Is there anyone here that has never, ever, ever been slightly fearful of the police? Okay, one, two. So you can have another one. Oh, okay. Is there anyone here who could say they have never been lied to? That's another one for you. Is there anyone here who would say, no one has ever told me that I'm naughty, ever? No, there's another one for you, Jay. Is there anyone here who has never been told that they're bad? Okay, so got one, yeah? So we can have one more for you. How you doing? Is there anyone here that's never been told they're a waste of space or they're... So we've got, yeah, a few. So you've got another one. Is there anyone here who's ever, never been discriminated against because of their sex or their colour or their religion? Never been discriminated against. So, yeah. Okay. Right. So can you see, somehow we've got all these different things. We've talked about lies, we've talked about untruths, we've talked about negative words, we've talked about positive behaviour. Do you know, the things that can chain us up, all those negative things, the only way they can be broken is when there's family or friends or an environment that says, I'm afraid you've got the wrong idea. If somebody said, you are a waste of space, you're awful. Who said, no, you're not? Who said, but you are loved? How many here has never heard somebody say, I love you to them? Ever. My boys, it's about 30% of the prison, have never had anyone say, I love you. A 100% of the prison have been told they're bad. 100% of the prison have been told, we told you you'd end up in prison. 40% of my boys have been told that the reason granddad or grandma had a stroke or a heart attack is all your fault because of your behaviour. It's nothing to do with the 40 fags they smoke every day and the fry-up they eat all the time and the lack of exercise they have. It's totally down to that child who's ended up in prison. Around 30% of the boys I look after have no one there for them. They haven't had a visit since January, and we're now in October. Now, you can give up on the chains if you like. Can you see how much effort it takes to create the chains?
Yeah.
For both of you, a huge effort to create the chains. It takes an effort for us to allow the chains that bind us apart from God. It takes an effort for us to lie again and again and again, and then someone will say, I can't trust you. It takes an effort for us to believe you're worthless, you're useless, you're not worth anything, you're hopeless, you've always done that. It takes a lot of those words to build that chain. And the sadness is so many people are living this life. So many. With the hands that went up, how many hands went up for the lack of discrimination? It was a lot, wasn't it? It's more than half of you. I dream of that. Thank you. In my job, I have a lot of different lads who I see, a lot. And because all prisoners are mine to see. So let's just do a quick test. At Christmas, Easter time last year, we have 76 boys were in on Easter Day. We're in our prison on Easter Day. And we did some different events over Easter, as you do, including the bank holiday. How many 15 to 17-year-old boys do you think wanted to and turned up in chapel during that Easter period? How many of those do you think that would be? So 76 boys. You think all? 55. Yeah, 60%. We had 119 boys in the chapel that week, which we have 76 boys in the prison, which means most of them came twice. When I do a service and we're running short of time for any reason, I always say to the boys, the service this morning, look, I'm sorry, but we have to keep it within 45 minutes as tops. Do you want to have the service or do you want to have the refreshments? I give them the choice. 100% of the time they've chosen the service. I have never been in a place where prayer is more deep and heartfelt than working in a prison. When they pray, oh boy, do they pray. And it's not about themselves. It's about the people and the things they care about. My husband's going through cancer. He's starting chemo again on Wednesday this week. And the number of lads who have come up to me and told me, just very quietly, I am praying for you. I'm praying for you and for Bob. The number of boys who've come to me and said, how are you doing, Vanda? How are you? Are you all right? The reason at Guy's Marsh I ended up going into full-time ministry was because the men wrote to the Bishop of Salisbury and said, could you ordain this woman? Because we keep telling her all our sins and she has to get this Roman Catholic priest with bad breath in to give us an absolution. That's why I'm here. Because actually in the prison what I encountered was the chains of my childhood being broken by God working through those men. And why am I in Warrington? That's a weird one. I was working in Cornwall, so I worked all over the place. But I was working in Cornwall. I worked in Salisbury and worked with the new Archbishop of Canterbury. She's a lovely lady. She's scary. But she's really lovely, really lovely. And then I moved to Cornwall. And when I was in Cornwall, one of my colleagues was having a nervous breakdown. And he said, I want to work in chaplaincy. I want to not work in parishes anymore, because he was looking after these ancient buildings that were all falling down. And yeah, congregations, it was all challenging. And so I said, well, I know about prison ministry. And a friend of ours knew about hospital ministry. And we both said, well, we'll look up some chaplaincies for you so that you can have a look at them. And we were trying to support him through his breakdown. And what ended up is my colleague is now working in hospitals and I'm working in prisons, and he's still in the one with the nervous breakdown is still in the parishes. He hasn't left. But I was looking at jobs for him and I gathered suitable jobs for him to send them to him to see them. And I'm not a person who God speaks directly to in absolute words ever, really, not very often. And I opened a page. I went over a page, sorry, on the internet, and it had HMP YOI Warrington, and I went, ooh, what's that? And I don't know why, because I'd finished gathering all the stuff, so I clicked it on, and then it was like God punched me in the solar plexus. I literally lost all my breath, which is about the only way to shut me up, really. I lost all my breath, and then I heard God say, you are to go there. So I was interviewed on Zoom. Never been to Stoke-on-Trent in my life. We bought a house online, as you do, in COVID. I came up here. And this is where God wants me to be. We've got boys who are choosing to be baptized and choosing to become Muslims. We've got boys who are learning alternatives to you are worthless. You're worth everything. We've got boys who are beginning to believe there is a hope. There is a future. There is something ahead. 30% of our boys are serving a sentence for longer than they've been alive. How can they have hope? There is only God. There is only God. For the boys who've got no family, what do you do for 27 years in prison with no one to visit you? How do you get out? If you come to prison when you are that young, you won't have been able to pass your driving test. You have never voted in an election. You've probably not had a very deep relationship. You don't know how to rent a house, to buy a house. You don't know how to buy a car. You don't know really how to do that much in terms of cooking. You don't understand budgeting. Tell me how many 14, 15-year-olds would be able to do any of those things. How could they? And what we're doing is putting these children in men's bodies into a world and saying, there you go, don't be naughty or you'll be back in prison. Bye. That's it. How do we get them home and safe? And it is only God. It is only faith. It is only a belief that actually Jesus loves me, that I am special, that Jesus forgives me, even when I can't forgive myself. And that's what we do. We peddle in hope that saves lives. And every time we get the angel tree saying, we'll do a gift, that is not giving a small gift to a child from a congregation and that's it. That is the child hearing that Daddy loves me and cares about me. That is the mother hearing, I don't have to explain again to him why everybody else's daddies do lovely things, but he can't. That is a gift from the child, that our boy, actually knowing that they've done something for their child. They have tried to be a parent for once. That is relationships being built for the man and his child, or the boy and his child. So when he gets out of prison, there's something that you can build on. The other thing Prison Fellowship does, which is just amazing, is Mothering Sunday. Mothering Sunday, the boys, if they wish, can actually ask for a card to go to their mum, and it goes along with a voucher for a Costa. And I have had parents, mums, phoning me, and often it's grandmothers, phoning me in tears. I didn't know how I was going to do Mother's Day this year. And I had no idea this card and voucher was coming. And I sat and I wept on Sunday. And then I went to Costa Coffee. And I had a coffee with a picture of my grandson propped in front of me. And I had a biscuit. And I thought, we can do this. I can survive this. You, in helping the Prison Fellowship, are builders of hope. You are people who are creating a future for those children who don't have a future. And at Christmas time, the gifts at Christmas and Easter. Easter, well, most of the boys don't understand Easter at all. They want the gift on Good Friday because that's the bank holiday. And they don't always do Easter, but everybody has done Christmas. And you begin to see it when I knock on the door with the bag of gifts from you and from me and the card saying, we see you. We can see you. We haven't forgotten you. It's 50-50 what the child will do. It's either a beam that smacks across their face or it's tears. I didn't know how I was going to be able to live here at Christmas, but I've just seen somebody cares. It's sort of a summary of what the boys say. Somebody cared. Somebody cared enough to come to this earth, to live a life of outrageous, generous love He walked through miracles as if it was a piece of cake, as my boys would say. He believed in people. He loved people. He trusted them. And he very rarely pointed a finger and said, "You're all really bad." All he did was for love. All he lives for is for love. And all he hopes for is for love. It's not actually that hard, is it? My challenge to you is to live a life of FOMO, fear of missing out for everyone else. To remember to be thankful. Model yourself on that one leper who chose to say thank you. Model your life on Jesus, and your life will be not only in this life, but into the next world too. 21 minutes, is that bad? Okay. Amen.
I think we'll go straight into communion now, if that's okay.
Okay, yes, that's absolutely fine. Now, we've got a slight difference for you. So when I was I was the rector in Salisbury, and while I was there, there was a Baptist church that lost their minister. And I used to go in every Sunday night, and I helped out taking the service. And then every month I used to take the communion. And we had to come to an agreement there, because Baptist communion and Anglican communion are quite different. And my bishop says to me, "This is what you must do." And the Baptist church said to me, "This is what you should do." And so this is what we ended up with, which is like a bridge between the two. Is that okay? And then, because I loved the words of it so much, I did take it. And this is also used in Werrington. So that's the history of it. It's from the Iona community, this Eucharistic prayer. Welcome to worship. Welcome to those who want to pray. Welcome those who want to learn. Welcome to those who want to hear.
Welcome to those who want to find out. Welcome to those who are sinners. For this time is close. Welcome from God to you and to me. God welcomes us to you.
God, our Creator, help me to come before you now in this worship with open heart and mind, ready to hear your call, attentive to the word you have for me today. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
For patience when tested.
Thanks be to God.
For love when despairing.
Thanks be to God.
Let us sit quietly in the company of God. We know how complex life can be with our mates in Werrington and other prisons, in church, family, with each other and with you, God. For a time now, we sit quietly needing to be near you, Lord our God. My brothers and sisters, as we prepare to celebrate the presence of Christ in word and sacrament, let us call to mind and confess our sins. For when we have betrayed your world, Lord, we bounce. For when we have betrayed other people, Lord, for when we have betrayed ourselves, Lord, for when we have betrayed you, Lord. The God of love, who is more powerful than we can imagine, gives you forgiveness and healing for all that is past and peace for all that is to come. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, for you made us, and before us you made the world, and the heavens in which through Christ we have a place. All that is spectacular, all that is plain, have their origin in you. All that is lovely, all who are loving, point to you. We praise you for coming to earth in Jesus, for his life that informs our living, for his compassion which changes our hearts, for his innocent suffering, his fearless dying, his rising to life-breathing forgiveness. We praise and worship him. Holy, holy, holy God, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now we fall silent and remember him who came because words weren't enough. Merciful God, send now in your kindness your Holy Spirit on this bread and wine, and fill them with the fullness of Jesus. And let the same Spirit rest on us, converting us from the patterns of the world until we conform to the shape of him whose food we now share. Among those gathered around the table, Jesus took bread. He broke it. And said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat to remember me." Later he took a cup of wine and said, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink it, all of you, to remember me." This is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time Christ can make us new. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread, the body of Christ. Those who wish to follow him one day will eat this broken bread together. Come, all who are hungry and thirst for a deeper faith, a better life, a fairer world, come and join the feast.
Thank you.
A final prayer of a blessing isn't really a prayer, because you are the blessing, aren't you? I walk through the prison each day with my key pouch and my chain. And at the end of the chain are the keys, the symbol of my freedom. Some of you may wear a cross around your neck on a chain, and that is the symbol of your freedom. Your words can be words that break these chains, the chains of despair. But your words can also build these chains and make them longer and stronger and more constraining and more life-removing. Every time you do something in a positive way, every time you say those nice things you're thinking instead of just keeping them in here, you're helping to shape people into people who know themselves as loved, as worthy and important. So I'm going to close with prayer from a place called the Black Rock, from Burning Man. Burning Man is a place in America where people gather. They gather through a three-day festival and they write all the things that have chained them down. And they write them down on pieces of wood, and the wood is built into a massive figure of a human being. And on the last day, they set fire to it. It's about 30 feet high. And it contains pieces of wood where they've said things like, "You're a waste, you're bad, you'll never do anything good." All the things that tie people up in chains. And they burn it. And they dance as that disappears. And this seemed entirely right for today's blessing. The world is now too dangerous, too beautiful, for anything but love. May your eyes be so blessed you see God in everyone. May your ears be so blessed you hear the cry of the poor. May your hands be so blessed that everything you touch becomes a sacrament, a sign of God. May your lips be so blessed that you speak nothing but the truth with love. May your feet be so blessed so you run to those who need you. May your heart be so opened, so set on fire that your love changes everything. And now may the blessing of the God who loves you become your peace. May the blessing of Jesus, who called sinners friends, give you hope. May the blessing of the life-giving Spirit make your heart dance. And may you hold this blessing within you and share it with all who need a blessing that they can live. Amen. Oh, okay. Sorry. I wasn't told about that. Sorry.
Together. Amen. Father, we thank you for the blood that you shed for our sins. And Lord, we just pray now that we would always remember that as we go in our daily lives, as we seek to be your hands and feet in the community and the lives that we touch. Father, just go with us now. into this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.